This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Gay marriage advocates gathered on the steps of the Supreme Court cheered this morning as the court issued a pair of landmark rulings on same-sex marriage.
No more DOMA, they chanted. In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that same-sex couples are entitled to federal benefits denied them under the Defense of Marriage Act.
The federal statute is invalid, wrote Justice Anthony Kennedy for the majority. By treating those persons as living in marriages less respected than others, the federal statute is in violation of the Fifth Amendment.
Here's how Edith Windsor, lead plaintiff in the case, reacted to the news earlier today.
And we won everything we asked and hoped for. Wow.
The court also declined to decide a case from California, leaving a lower court ruling in place that effectively legalizes gay marriage in that state. We'll talk more about the Supreme Court's decision on that case in a moment.
But first, let's take a closer look at the DOMA decision. And joining us now is one of the lawyers who represented Edith Windsor in the case, U.S. v. Windsor. James Essex is director of the ACLU Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and AIDS Project. He joins us from Washington, D.C. James Essex, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be here on this fabulous day.
Also with us is Linda McLean, professor of law at Boston University and author of Ordered Liberty, Rights, Responsibilities, and Virtues. Linda McLean, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So James Essex, let's start with you. You were co-counsel on this case on behalf of Edith Windsor, the DOMA case. The 5-4 ruling written by Anthony Kennedy is actually quite sweeping. It affects all marriages or all same-sex marriages across the country. Did you expect the ruling to be so absolutely in your favor?
Well, you know, we were hopeful, and after the oral argument at the end of March, the tea leaves suggested that we had a decent shot, but it's enormously gratifying to read this decision that says DOMA is just, it violates fundamental principles of equality. It shouldn't be that the federal government gets to treat the marriages of straight people one way and the marriages of gay people another way. And that's been our argument all along, and just wow.
Mm. Linda McLean, just to be clear, what the court ruled today on the Defense of Marriage Act was that federal benefits cannot be denied to couples, to same-sex married couples, but that states that do not have gay marriage laws don't have to recognize same-sex marriages that are performed in other states. Nevertheless, in the time between March, when oral argument was heard, and today, there were many people who wondered maybe the court might tailor its decision very narrowly, such that it would only affect one part of the country. So I guess that's my background way of asking you what your reaction is to the broad nature of this decision.
Well, I think that the litigants in this case should be very proud of themselves. Justice Kennedy issued a very sound affirmation that gay and lesbian couples are entitled to equal dignity and respect, and there should not be a second-tier marriage that's not recognized under federal law. So I think that this will apply anywhere that a state allows same-sex couples to enter into civil marriage.
James Essex, let me ask, have you spoken with Edith Windsor today? I presume you have.
Yes, indeed, and she is thrilled and just over the moon. She is, you know, I mean, she's been fighting this for a long time, and she's 84 years old, and she's had a life journey that really tracks the growth of LGBT equality in the country. In the 50s, she was a profoundly closeted woman and lived with her spouse, Thea Spire, for 44 years, and for most of that time, they were not out. At least not out beyond a small circle of friends. Now she's an icon of the gay rights movement and is couldn't be more out. But that span of time from the 50s to now tracks an enormous sea change in American public opinion about gay people.
Well, so practically speaking, in Edith Windsor's case, and she is so emblematic of so many gay couples in this country, what does today's ruling mean for her? Is she automatically now entitled to every federal benefit that married couples have under the law?
Well, indeed. I mean, so for her concretely, she's going to get a refund of the $363,000 in federal estate taxes that she had to pay that a straight widow wouldn't have had to pay. But more broadly, your point is absolutely right. She, like every other married same-sex couple in the country, is going to be treated as married under federal programs as long as they're married under state law. And that's the way it should work.
Linda McLean, is it truly so cut and dry? Because, the DOMA statute before today, if I understand correctly, it affected, federal benefits in some 1,100 different areas, or marriage was cited as a grounds for those. So do we know immediately is it like turning on a light?
Well, President Obama concluded back in 2011, the Justice Department concluded that they believed DOMA was unconstitutional under an intermediate scrutiny standard. But in the meantime, until they had a final court determination on DOMA, they would continue to enforce the law. Now you have the final determination, so I think the next step is they tell governmental agencies and departments, do not enforce DOMA.
Mm. And, for example, some people are wondering about what this might mean for couples where one spouse is seeking American citizenship. James Essex, did you want to chime in on that?
Sure. So going forward, we know that the rule is going to be if you're married under state law, you're married under federal law. The problem is that federal agencies look to have different approaches to what state you look to figure out if a couple is married. And they follow two rules. One is you look to the law of the state that people got married in, and the other is you look to the law of the state in which people live. And for gay people, that can lead to a very different result depending on where you live in the country. If you got married in Massachusetts and you live there, or you live in New York, another state that allows same-sex couples to marry, the federal government's going to treat you as married for all those federal program purposes because you live in a freedom to marry state, and the state that you live in and the state that you got married in are both going to say you're married. But for a bunch of federal programs, if you live in Nebraska and you got married in Iowa, if they look to the law of Nebraska, Nebraska is going to say you're not married. And over time, what we expect to happen is for the Obama administration to update those laws so that going forward, they will look to the law of the state that you got married in, and that will mean that once you get married under federal law, you're married. Mm.
Linda McLean, did you want to add to that?
Well, that is interesting because that would lead to a situation where you're married for purposes of federal law but not for purposes of the state you're currently living in. But this is a complicated issue, and you're identifying some of the next steps people are going to be looking at.
Hmm. Well, let's move on briefly to talk about the other same-sex marriage case that the court actually declined to issue a decision on because they said they couldn't based on its merits, and that is the Proposition 8 case out of California. Essentially, the court said that the people bringing the case shouldn't have done so because the state declined to defend itself, and so therefore they sent it back, and a lower court ruling stands. Bottom line is, essentially, that means that it looks as if gay marriage will be essentially legal in California now. Now, Linda McLean, what I wanted to ask you has to do with something David Boies said today. He's the lawyer that argued against Proposition 8 during oral argument in the Supreme Court. And he says that he feels confident that the court will eventually issue a decision the next time a state anti-gay marriage law ends up before the justices, and here's why.
Everything that the Supreme Court said in the defense of marriage opinion, where they did reach the merits, demonstrates that when that case finally does come to the United States Supreme Court on the merits, marriage equality will be the law throughout this land.
Linda McLean, do you think David Boies is right to feel so confident about that?
Okay, so I think that Justice Kennedy's opinion uses Romer and uses Lawrence to make very strong statements about the dignity and respect that marriage confers, and that it offends equal protection to deny that status under federal law to a group that has been granted that status under state law. The next question is, if this comes back to the court, will those same five votes support a ruling that is a matter of fundamental federal law, states can't deny this at the outset. But I think the template of Romer and Lawrence that Kennedy relied upon, David is probably assuming that could be kind of used in a challenge to state marriage laws. That is not what Kennedy was doing today. He didn't need to do that today in the DOMA case. But it's a very strong signal about equal dignity and respect, which, by the way, was central to the Ninth Circuit's Prop 8 ruling, relying on Kennedy's opinion in Romer and Lawrence.
Mm, and we should mention by the fact that Lawrence is Lawrence v. Texas, a decision that was issued 10 years ago today, which struck down sodomy laws in Texas and essentially all of their states that still had them and made same-sex sexual activity legal. Justice Kennedy also wrote that decision, so he was using his own template, essentially, for today's DOMA case.
And that case was careful to say we're not talking about marriage, but it's 10 years later.
Well, James Essex, last thought goes to you on this question. What do you think happens next then? Is it likely that we're going to see another challenge come up from one of the states that does that has anti-gay marriage laws on the books come back before the court?
Yes. Look, there's no question in my mind that there will be another marriage case that poses the Prop 8 question coming to the Supreme Court over the course of the next several years. And the question really is, what does the country look like when that case gets there? Right now, we have 13 states plus D.C. that allow same-sex couples to marry. And we at the ACLU and many of other of our partners are working very hard to increase that number. And I hope that in just a couple of years, we're going to have 20 states that have the freedom to marry for same-sex couples. And I think the better job we do at expanding the number of states that have the freedom to marry, the better chances we have in the U.S. Supreme Court when this issue gets back there.
Well, James Essex is the director of the ACLU Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and AIDS Project. He was co-counsel in the case of the United States versus Windsor. He represented Edith Windsor in the Challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act. James Essex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
And Linda McLean, professor of law at Boston University and author of Ordered Liberty, Rights, Responsibilities, and Virtues. Linda McLean, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, what happens when soldiers participate in acts that go against their own deeply held moral beliefs? We'll talk with veterans about moral injury. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.